हयात का हो मोहब्बत हुसैन की।
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وانش الفرج. جزاك الله رزاليك ما شاء الله. Beautiful كلام. I have a few announcements for next week. Just a reminder, the last date for the submission of applications for the Sayyid Azhar Excellence in Education Scholarship is tomorrow, June 8th. So please submit your applications if you haven't already done so. Program for the 15th Shaban, June 12th, Thursday, we will have Niaz at 8 p.m., followed by Salat al-Maghriban at 9. Then right after Salat al-Maghriban, we will have recitation of Holy Quran and Hadith al-Qissa. Then a session of Manqabat poetry, followed by speech in English. And right after the speech, we will have short Amal. And then we will have long Amal. And Azerbaijan wanted me to mention this, that the Sehri will be served for those who are here for the long Amal. Friday, June 13th, program will start with the recitation of Quran, Hadith al-Qissa, followed by Manqabat, and then speech in English by Maulana. And at 9 p.m. we will have Salat al-Maghriban. And right after Salat al-Maghriban, we will have Iftar Niyaz. Saturday, June 14th, Maulana will be conducting a seminar for parenting counseling. So to register for the seminar, you can contact Sister Safina Wajahat. And at 2 p.m., we will have Salat al-Zahrain. And right after Salat al-Zahrain, we will have the basketball tournament, Maulana 11 versus Momin 11. For registration, you can reach out to Brother Arif Sayyid. And depending on how many registrations we will have, we can move the venue to indoors, YMCA Irving. So please do register. June 20th, Friday, we have the Sunday School graduation ceremony at 7 p.m. And you can contact Brother Wajah Siddiqui for further details. Without further ado, I will invite Maulana Sayyid Yasin to address the moment in English. Please welcome with a loud salawat.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. May Allah inshallah accept all our prayers, amal and dua. in this holy month, inshallah, recite another salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We thank Allah for giving us the tawfiq, alhamdulillah, to be able to be in this majlis, name for the great, great person, the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ali Akbar. If you look carefully, you see that this is a tawfiq, an opportunity from Allah that He gave us to be able, inshallah, to participate into this majlis. We ask Allah, inshallah, to help us to get benefit out of this majlis, and it will be, inshallah, a dhakhira for our dunya wal akhirah. Recite another salawat and gift it to Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Can you make it louder? If I want to talk about the attributes and the fada'il of Ali Akbar, it's enough to tell you that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Ma'soom, infallible Imam Hujjatullah, that we all know again, Quran says Rasulullah la yantiqu anil hawa, they don't talk based on their own interest and na'udhu billah desires. Whatever they say is according to the fact. So his father is talking about his son Ali Akbar, says Ali Akbar is ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi rasulillah. We all know that Rasulullah is the best person, is the reason of the creation of this universe. He's number one. He's insan kamil, the most complete human being that Allah created, right? So whoever is going to be the most similar person to Insan Kamil, he should be an amazing person. We shouldn't look at the life of Ali Akbar. Remember, like Abul Fadl al-Abbas, we shouldn't look at the life of Ali Akbar only in Karbala. No. It's a background of the life of Ali Akbar that will flourish in Karbala. And when you look at this, you see that Imam said Ali Akbar, he is the most similar person to Rasulullah from different aspects. What are different aspects? The first one, khalqan, he looks like Rasulullah. Imagine when you look someone, it reminds you of Rasulullah, the face of Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. That's amazing. Imam Hussein said, whenever we missed Rasulullah after his demise, we were looking at Ali Akbar. Not only that, khalqan wa khulqan. What is the khulq? The manner, the akhlaq. Do you know what that means? Allah told Rasulullah, wa innaka la'ala khulqin azim. The best of akhlaq and the best of manners is in Rasulullah. So the person who is the most similar, Imam says, Ali Akbar. Imagine the akhlaq of Rasulullah. It's in the history that sometimes Rasulullah was sitting in the, you know, in the masjid, and one of the Arab, the Badi, you know, the Badawi, just coming from the, you know, the desert, they didn't hear about Rasulullah, just came to see. And that was the khitab. That was the way that they were calling. Who is Muhammad? Like this they were calling. Not Rasulullah. They didn't notice. Who is Muhammad? And then we're like this. The history said he was coming next to Rasulullah. Says, what do you have for us? Like this. You know, not polite. Not. What do you have for us? Rasulullah patiently was talking to him. The history says he was falling asleep. This Arab was falling asleep. And he was putting his head on the thigh of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah was caressing him. This is the akhlaq on Rasulullah, right? That is the reason that you guys, after 1400 years, you are still Muslim. Because of the khuluqin azim. Khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan. The mantiq, the speech of Ali Akbar is like Rasulullah. It's another person like Rasulullah, alhamdulillah, in the khalq and khulq and manner. Let me give you another fazila, an attribute about Ali Akbar. We all know that Imam Ma'soom, again, his existence, his wujud is because of Allah's order, because of the mission that he has. We all heard that Imam Hussein, after the martyrdom of Ali Akbar, he said, what? Ad-dunya ba'daka al-'afa. Do you know what that means? That means, Ya Ali, after you, there is no reason to live in this universe. Who is saying? Imam Hussein, Imam Ma'soom. And let me tell you, what was the mantiq of Ali Akbar? Remember, we started this culture that we want to analyze the life of Ahlul Bayt. We don't want to just come here and admire them and don't know anything about their lives and go home. No, we want to analyze their lives. We want to decode the codes of the life of Ahlul Bayt, full of codes. We want to see what is the code of the life of Ali Akbar and Imam Hussein, that I have to decode them and I use them for my personal life and my social life as well. In a conversation between Imam Hussein and Ali Akbar, Ali Akbar is saying that Imam is upset, is sad because of the situation of the society. He asked one question. He asked, Ya Aba, alasna ala al-haq? We are fighting with this people. Are we on haq? Are we the right people? Do we have the right? And then Imam says, Bala, walladhi ilayhi marjul ibad. Definitely we are on haq. And what is the answer of Ali Akbar? فَإِنَّنَا إِذَنْ لَا نُبَالِي أَن نَمُوتَ مُحَقِّينَ. Then there's no problem. If we die here, there's no problem because we are in the right path. We found it. This is the mantiq of Ali Akbar. Because we know we are stepping towards the right of Allah, that's it. Al-fadlu ma, Arab people, they said this. Al-fadlu ma shahidat bihil a'da'u. If you want to find the true fadila, is the fadila the a'da. The enemies would confess about it. Muawiyah, la'natullah alayhi, he asked the people around him, he said, do you know who is the best person to be the caliph? All the people said, you definitely, you're the best one. He said, no. The best person that is eligible to be the caliph is awla an-nas bihadha al-amr, Ali ibn Husayn ibn Ali. And this is Muawiyah. Jadduhu Rasulullah wa fihi shuja'atu bani Hashim. His grandfather is Rasulullah, the shuja' and then the bravery of, you know, the Bani Hashim is in it. This is Ali Akbar. This is the mantiq of Ali Akbar. And he is one of those students of the maktab of Imam Hussein. Remember we introduced the top graduate students from the University of Imam Hussein? We said Abul Fadl al-Abbas. And Ali Akbar is the one who studied in the Maktab and the University of Imam Hussein. But what happened? If you remember, last night we started the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. The beautiful hadith that helped us to make our lives the most similar lives to the life of Ahlul Bayt. Alhamdulillah, we have everything. What is the thing that I said, everything? We're not born with original sins, right? You say, oh my God, what should I do? I'm born with original sins. No, alhamdulillah, you're pure. You're born pure. But we know that just being pure is not enough. You have to take care of this pureness. If you have a beautiful flower, right? And you leave it somewhere, the most beautiful, the most expensive flower in the world. You leave it here. You don't take care of it. You don't put water. You don't give any light into it. What will happen? It'll fade. You have to take care of it. You are pure, alhamdulillah. But you need to take care of that pureness. You have to elevate, develop this pureness. We're not like Christmas trees. You know why? Because when they want to make the Christmas trees beautiful, they put something on it to make it beautiful, right? No, we have everything. We have the fitrah. It's beautiful. The fitrah is according to what? Allah will find it. This is the internal Rasul. What else we have? We have aql, external Rasul and Prophet. We have it here, right? And we have the power and we have Ahlul Bayt in front of us. We have everything. It's just a matter of finding it. We have everything, but we have enemies as well. Committing sins, going towards nafs. These are the obstacles, the only obstacles that we have between us and Ahlul Bayt. If you see those people like Salman can be minna Ahlul Bayt, it's because they remove these obstacles because of their amal. So what was the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I said, we're going to memorize it, right? I will ask you later. You better memorize it. It's a very simple hadith. أكره نفسك بالفضائل فإنك مطبوع بالرزائل. You should force yourself and your nafs to khair, because our nafs is more inclined towards shar, evil. So you have to force yourself. Say it, give me example. Just said the hadith, give me example. Because we have youth here. Is it easy to wake up at 7 a.m. to go to school? It's not easy. If you want to graduate, to get degree, to be, you know, engineer, to be PhD, inshallah, you have to what? Push yourself towards it. That's not easy to wake up, you know. Sometimes you sleep late, you have to wake up all early morning and then go to school and then go to the university and come back. It's not easy, right? You have to force yourself. Sometimes he wakes up, she wakes up, dad, can I sleep more? No, sorry, buddy. You have to go. You have to push yourself, right? If not, there is no degree. A patient who is afraid of a doctor, a surgery, he has to push himself, right, to go to the surgery. Otherwise, what happened? It's not going to be better. So we shouldn't wait for good things to happen for us. We have to go look for good things. أكره نفسك بالفضائل. I can't say, I just registered in the university, the best university. So I'm waiting for my degree. Can I say that? They say, okay, wait for it. No, you have to work. You have to force yourself towards that. So if you remember, we said last night, we need two things in order to what? To be against our nafs. We need this topic because we're getting close to Ramadan, right? We said shaitan is locked up, but nafs is still active in Ramadan. So we need two things. The first one was motivation, that we talk about this. The second one was the plan. And I want to talk about the plan tonight. What is the plan that I can make my life the most similar to the life of Ali Akbar? He was the most similar one to Rasulullah. But he expects me what? To become the most similar one to his life. That's what Ahlul Bayt, they want us to be. To analyze our lives. This is the plan. In order to commit a sin, we need three processes. With the last one, it will be four steps to commit a sin. I want to make it very simple and academic so you understand. Really? Committing a sin? It needs four steps? I thought it's just coming and going. No. It has four steps. If you learn it carefully, next time, inshallah, you can implement it as a strategy. The first step and the first process that comes to your mind in this order is imagination. This is the plan. To be against nafs, legitimate desires. Imagination, it comes to my mind, right? Something wrong, something haram, astaghfirullah, it comes to my mind. The first step is it comes to my mind. I imagine it, right? The second step is justification. I'll try to justify it. You know what? It's just the first one. It's just the one time. Come on, other people, they did it and nothing happened. This guy is still there. The earth is still here. I'm just a little bit. Shaitan comes and try to justify it. That's the second step. When I'm able to justify that process, that amal, that haram, it comes to hub. I would love to do it. Right? So it came to my mind. imagination comes to, because I know that's bad, justification. Just one time. The third step, I would like to try it. The fourth step, you will do it. That's the amal. And I want to ask you the question. My speech is usually is interactive. I want to hear from you as well, specifically because you are close to Sahar, so it's better not to, you know, fall asleep. So they told me you have to use it full 1 hour. Full 1 hour. So brother said. So we'll see. Which step is the best step to cut committing sin? Tell me. Ahsant. Why? As soon as it comes to your mind, you're like, you destroy that imagination. You distract yourself from that. So you won't do it. Because if it comes to the next step, it's more difficult. It's the third step, it's more difficult. And the last step is definitely more difficult. But what is the tools? Okay, you said this process, but I need a power, right, to stand in front of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salam. He said, do you know what is the most encouraging, encouraging and promising ayah in Quran? What is it? I'll give you 3-4 seconds. The most encouraging and promising ayah in Quran. Is it the ayah that says, Ya ayyuha alladhina la taqnutu min rahmatillah, definitely I'm the merciful. What is the most encouraging? Amir al-Mu'minin is saying, right? Bismillah ar-Rahman. No. He said, the ayah that is telling us that we should say our salat 5 times a day, that's the most encouraging and promising ayah in Quran. Why? Because 5 times a day, you dive into this great, great spring. 5 times. Imagine, this city has, mashallah, hot weather, right? If you dive into a crystal clear spring 5 times a day, is there any sweat? Is there any dirt will be on you? It's impossible. 5 times a day, you'll be the cleanest person in this state. With all this distraction, my soul needs to be clean, right? How can I clean it? 5 times, Imam says, with this, salat can fix our spiritual deficiencies that we will get. We have some people here that are from airlines and related to airplanes, I think. What is a big difference between a car and an airplane? What is it? I use this example somewhere else. I want to hear. The biggest difference between a car and an airplane. Tell me. The airplane flies, the car can't fly. What else? The biggest one, the main one. Flight, plan, okay. No traffic. What else? Speed, wings, what else? The what? Engine. The main difference from this aspect is this. What happened to an airplane if the engines or some parts of the airplane stops working when it's on the air? What will happen? It goes directly to cemetery. Right? How about a car? The most thing that happened, what? No, it might just, you know, pull over. And then, you know, you ask the mechanic to come. Nothing, big things probably happen to you. But the airplane? Al-Tamasidu'a. How do you fix airplanes? Do you know that? Do they fix it when it's broken? The parts are broken? No. You know when do they fix it? Before it flies. No. They check the parts and they said this part is good for 5 months. We don't take a risk. We change the part because we don't want to go to cemetery, right? We change it. Do I treat myself like an airplane to check my spiritual parts before the collision, before I fall down? Because I'm Mu'min, I'm Shia, inshallah.
I'm going to elevate. I'm going to go higher and higher and higher. This is not my status, right? Just to be happy, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah, I come to masjid and that's it. No. I want to fly higher and higher and higher because my role models is Imam Hussein alayhi salam. My role models Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. My role model is Ali Akbar. They are all up here. I don't want to stay here. That is the reason I want to fly. But in order to make sure I can fly in a good manner, I have to check myself. I have to check these parts. How can you check it? Remember in Salah Jum'ah, تَفَكُّرُ صَاعَةً أَفْضَلْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ سَبْعِينَ صَلَةً. Think about it. Analyze it. This is the birthday of Ali Akbar, alhamdulillah. What should I do in this birthday? What is my responsibility right now? This is Muharram, okay. 10 days of Muharram, I come here and I go home. What do I have? Is this Muharram that they came and passed is better than the last Muharram? Is my ma'rifat about Hussein ibn Ali is better than last Muharram? This birthday of Ali Akbar, do I know more about the Ahlul Bayt than previous years or not? To decode the life of Ahlul Bayt, to find the purpose of the Qiyam of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If I see that Imam says his Salat, the Dhuhr of Ashura, he says, I will say Salat, although few people of my Ashab should be killed, still it's fine, I should say the Salat. Isn't it a code that Imam is giving to us? This is a code that shows few people will become Shaheed for the Iqamah of Salat. What is that? That is a code Imam is giving to us. Be careful. That's important. Some of the best of the shuhada has been killed for this salat. Just two rak'ah salat khawf. But you have to pay attention to this. You see the life of Ali Akbar. He said, are we haq? If I know that my right is haq, if all Amir al-Mu'minin says all the world be against me, I would not hesitate my way, my path. Because I know that's the right path. I should be strong. If someone opened this door right now and comes here and question our beliefs, how many of us, honestly, right now think about this, how many of us would be able to defend our beliefs? Someone right now comes here and question Ashura, Karbala, Ahlul Bayt altogether and Islam. Am I able to defend my religion? Or I just want to say, no, I'm Muslim, alhamdulillah. So what is it? Tell me, what is your responsibility about Islam? That is the message that we want to get from Karbala. That is the message that we want to get from Ashura. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So treat yourself like an airplane, not like a car. Our youth, even they would memorize this, inshallah. Because if you treat yourself like a car, yeah, I'm going to be just Muslim going a little bit on the road. You will always, you know, crawl on the road. You never elevate. But Ahlul Bayt, they want us to go higher and higher. If my level is, I'm a second grader in the maktab of Ahlul Bayt, they want us to be what? Go higher. The third one. Go to the fourth one. By amal. Showing it by amal. So, I want to, you know, give you very practical solution for that, because about salat, Imam says the salat is like a file nail. You know, when you rub it against the rustiness, the file, it will clean the surface, right? By salat, this is one of the plans. Remember, by salat you can get, you know, clear. Your nafs would be clear, but I want to give you this example. You might ask me this. Okay, Sayyid, you tell me all these things and, you know, we tried a few times before. Still, you know, we have problem. When it comes to sins, to haram, it comes. It's difficult to control yourself. Give me a more practical solution. What is the most practical? Someone came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he asked the same question. He said, يَمْنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنَا رَجُلٌ عَاصٌ وَلَمْ أَصْبِرْ عَنِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. I am a person, he was very honest. It's good to be honest with Ahlul Bayt. When we talk to Ahlul Bayt, I'm like this. You know myself. You know I'm a sinner. You know I commit sins. I need your help to be honest. When you go to the doctor, what would you do? You don't hide your amraz. You don't hide your sickness. If you hide it, you don't get better. When you come to Ahlul Bayt, you say it, you ask help. أنا رجل عاص. I'm a person who commits sins. And I can't get away from it. So honest, what is your recommendation? And look the answer. This answer only comes from ma'soom. Simple people, they can't answer this. Imam says, okay, if you can't control it, go commit sins. Really? Imam Hussein said that? You can go commit sins? Yes. Go commit sins. Under five conditions, you observe it, then go do whatever you want. Whatever. Whatever. Just five things. Five things. And I'm giving it to you right now from Imam. You observe five things and do whatever you want in this universe. Okay? Let's see what is this. Imam says, فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ اِفْعَلْ خَمْسْتَ عَشْيَاءَ وَذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتَ. Five things, do it, and do whatever you want. The first one, فَأَوَّلُ ذَلِكَ لَا تَعْكُلْ رِزْقَ اللَّهِ وَذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتَ. Don't eat from the sustenance of Allah in this universe. The food, whatever you want to eat. Don't eat from the sustenance of Allah and do whatever you want to do. If I want to go to the university, again, this example, they said this is the rule of this place, right? I want to work here. This is the rule that you have to follow. Can I say I don't follow it? They said, no, you have to follow it. If you don't want it. So, لا تأكل رزق الله. Don't eat from the sustenance of Allah and do whatever you want. Is it possible? Can you find anything in this universe that you point on it and this is not from Allah? Let's find nothing. Whatever we see, Allah created, right? The second one. وَالثَّانِي أُخْرُجْ مِنْ وِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ وَذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتَ. Go away from the territory of Allah. Go away from the lands of Allah and do whatever you want. Can you find anywhere in this world, in this universe, that is not for Allah? No. So you are on the territory of Allah. You have to observe the rules, right? The third one. وَالثَّالِثْ أُطْلُبْ مَوْضَعًا لَا يَرَاكَ اللَّهُ وَذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you want to do something bad, something wrong, go somewhere that Allah can't see you. You see Imam how he's answering? Is it possible to go somewhere, hide it? No. Remember Zulaykha, the wife of the Aziz of Misr, when she was going to ask for that haram, she put the cover on the idol. She thought that, okay, it's okay. If I cover it, he's not going to see it. But if you can find somewhere that your God, your master, your Lord cannot see you, go do whatever you want. It is impossible. The fourth one, إِذَا جَاءَ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ لِيَقْبِذَ رُوحَكَ فَادْفَعْهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ وَذْنِبْ مَا شِئْتَ. When the angel of death came to say, okay, that's enough. We have to go. Can I have one more second? I'm sorry. That's it. That's ajal. You have to go. If you have the power to tell him, you know what? Get away from me. If you can say that to Hazrat Israel, then do whatever you want. You have power. Is it possible? No, when he comes, he comes. That's it. And the last one, والخامس إذا أدخلك المالك في النار فلا تدخل في النار وذنب ما شئت. When the angel of hell, Malik, is the name is Malik, comes to put you in hell, tell him what? I'm sorry, I can't come with you. I have to go to hell, heaven. No, you don't have that power, right? So because of that, follow Allah. Whatever I do, I see Allah is observing me. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. He's watching you, he's seeing you. Sometimes, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, if I want to do something wrong, haram, if the little baby is in that house, I don't do it because of the haya of that baby. If I see the camera is in that room, I won't do it, right? Because they're watching me, they're recording me. But I don't know that Allah's cameras are recording every single aspect of my life. The day of judgment, when I'm standing, they give me the transcript. No, I didn't do it. No, you didn't do it. Show him the film. You didn't do it, no? We recorded everything. You want to deny from the system of Allah, the best, the highest resolution of the cameras that you can find is up there. They record everything. So do I have more shame in front of Allah, the same that I have in front of this camera? Huh. You want to have a good Ramadan, right? You want this Ramadan to be different. What do we want from this Ramadan? Just come and going, like Rasulullah says, you just feel the hunger and thirst. And at the end of Ramadan, I'm just hungry. I have some, you know, belly problems. No. You want, what is the point? I want to ask you this question. The point that 1 month is Muharram. 1 month is Ramadan. Another one is Sha'ban. Another one is Rajab. What is the point of Allah giving us all this, you know, the excuses that we have? Is what? Allah is shouting, come on, I'm waiting for you. And you said, what is the occasion? Come on, all these occasions in front of you. Use it. When it's the birthday of Ali Akbar, open the book. That's the just the reason, right? Open the book. Read the biography of Ali Akbar. It's the birthday of Imam Hussein. Read the biography of Imam Hussein. Something add into yourself, into your knowledge about Imam Hussein. And if you remember, stop it from the first step, the beginning. My dear brothers and sisters, our souls are very, very sensitive. Very sensitive. Sometimes we do take care of our cell phones better than our souls. You know, if I buy a Galaxy, the last version, or iPhone, I will buy $50-$100 cover for my cell phone to what? To make sure there wouldn't be even one scratch on the surface of the phone. Do I have a cover for my soul? I talk the way that everybody can understand it. You know? We have different, you know, ages, alhamdulillah, from 0 to 99, alhamdulillah, mashallah. So, do I take care of my soul the way that I take care of my... Some people are like this. They don't pay attention to these things. So, this is the ayah, this is the sign that we can get, you know, from this life around us. If my friends are inviting me to haram, if I'm in front of the computer and I'm into the internet, let me tell you something. Do you know how shaitan is progressed and experienced right now compared to the time of Adam? And how easy is for shaitan to distract us? Some people think shaitan is a fantasy and fictional creature somewhere around the world that sometimes come and, you know, whisper something and goes home. No. If you see that Ahlul Bayt and if you see that Anbiya, they don't sleep to guide us, shaitan also would not sleep to dismisguide us. This is the riwayat, very scary riwayat. Should I say it? This is scary. Should I say it or not? I don't want to be responsible if you know that you don't come, you don't sleep at night and it says, oh, because of this riwayah. You sure? Another salawat ala Muhammad. Rasulullah told Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali, how many ways you know to guide people to khair? Imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen. How many ways, you know, to guide people to khair, to the right path? You can't count it, right? He said, Ya Ali, shaitan knows the same amount of ways that you know to guide people to khair. He knows to misguide and mislead people to shar. So I underestimated shaitan. Shaitan is an army fully equipped from head to toe. He knows the best how comes to us and distract us. You know, when he comes to distract me and you guys, he doesn't come to say, you know what, after the majlis, let's go somewhere. He knows it's not going to happen, right? When he wants to distract me here, he comes right now. I want to tell you how it comes to ulama, okay? But don't tell other ulama. He comes here and says, MashaAllah, people are listening to you. Good speeches. Alhamdulillah. That's the first step. That's the first step. And then when I take the first step, he knows the second step. One of the ulama, he had a dream. He saw that shaitan, he has a lot of chains with him. Some of the chains are tiny. Some of the chains are very big and heavy chains. Said, what are all these chains that you have around it? He said, these chains are for the ibad, for people. Some of them, you know, like imam, like, you know, maraji, like ulama, it's difficult to, you know, to distract them from Allah. So I have to use this big and heavy chain to pull them to come to me. And they don't come, right? According to the level of imams, some people, this little teeny tiny, you know, chain, I use it and I distract. That person says, "What are the? Which one of this chain is for me that you use to distract me?" Says, "You? You don't need a chain. I just whistle, you come after me." Sometimes it's like this. And then when it comes to, this is why, when it comes to day of judgment, we have two lines. We are standing here, shaitan is standing here. Allah is telling shaitan, okay, you distract them, right? Shaitan says, no, I didn't. Then what happened? He said, I just invited them. I didn't force them. And he's right. He said, I just showed them the way and he said, I just invited them. They came after me. You see how? Khasira dunya wal akhirah. There's no dunya, the benefit, and no akhirah. Why? Because he said, he's right. He's just inviting us. So we have to be careful. So my friend is inviting me to that shahr. I'm in front of the computer. Something I know I shouldn't watch it. It's not appropriate. This is haram. Ya Allah, I know that you trusted me and you gave me these beautiful eyes. I don't want to, you know, to betray your trust. I know with these eyes, I'm hoping to see Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari. Salawat. And this microphone is like those sands clock, you know, when it comes down, that means it's enough. You have to finish. This time, inshallah, we'll go for another round. So, he gave me these eyes. I can see many things in this street, but Ya Allah, you trusted me. I come here to see my Mawla, my master. I don't want to betray it. My sister, she has hijab. Why? Because I know that maybe Zahra, peace be upon her, she sees me in the street. I don't want to be in a shape that when she looks at me, she turns over and she said, why? This is my Shia. Kunu zainan lana. Be the zinat for us. That when Zahra sees us, she smiles at us, right? Not that when she sees us, she would turn around. I don't want to look at him. I don't want to look at her. Have I ever looked at the life of Ahlul Bayt like this? Have I analyzed myself? Have I ever analyzed myself and my life with the life of Ahlul Bayt like this? How many times, how many years I want to come to the majlis of Imam Hussein, to the majlis of Abu al-Fadl, to the majlis of Ali Akbar, and just going home and coming back and going, what do I have in my hands? This is the blessings from Ahlul Bayt. That they want us to think about this. And don't look how small the sins can be. This is the hadith from Rasulullah to Abu Dharr. Ya Abu Dharr, don't look how small is the sin and khata that you are going to commit. Look who you are disobeying. Sometimes you see when your fathers, alhamdulillah, the Pakistani and Middle Eastern culture is like this. When parents are there, they don't, you know, open their legs in front of their parents or lay down in front of their parents because of the respect. It's just a little thing, simple. I just want to stretch my leg. No, that's not good. Even little sins I want to commit. Who am I disobeying? That nice guy, God, that told me what? I'm waiting for you. Come and talk to me. Very very beautiful riwayat. Wallah, I wouldn't say that if we were not in this moment. This is the hadith Qudsi, I believe. Allah says, Abdi, bihaqqika alay, inni uhibbuk. Listen to this. I wish you all knew Arabic. Because for the sake of the right that you have over me, Allah, the master of the universe, I love you. Ya Allah, who has right over you? Imam Hussein doesn't have right over Allah. Who has right over Allah? That Allah is talking to us. It's like we are so important. We have something to show it to Allah. What? The salat that I said is very important? Or the fasting that I have is very, you know, it's distinguished and so amazing that I can show it to Allah. Nothing. And it's all for me. I love you. Allah said to you guys, فَبِحَقِّ عَلَيْكَ أَحِبَّنِي. For the sake of the right that I have over you, you love me too. Can you find any lovers in this universe to talk to their beloved one like this? I love you. You love me too. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who is there to give me qarz? Allah is showing himself like a person that needs qarz, needs money from someone. He says, this is Quran. Man dhal ladhi yuqridu Allah qarz. Ya Allah, do you need money? Do you want me to give you money? Do you want me to give you donation? All the wealth of the universe is for you. He's acting like this. He's showing like this to me. So I what? I go there. I give him something, donation for the sake of Allah, for what? Huh? Because he wants me to come back to him. He can't see that I am not only us, even non-Muslim. He can't see that they are over there, that they don't talk to him. This is the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt. We got all the things, not from me, from Ahlul Bayt. From the same imam that we celebrated a few days ago, his birth. Akrih nafsaka. I told you, I asked you. What is it? Ahsan. Akrih nafsaka bil fada'il. Fa innaka matbu'un bil raza'il. Force yourself to khair. Those who are tired, recite aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Sayyid, he said we have to finish 1 hour. How long do I have time? 59 minutes. Are you sure? You don't have a school tomorrow, right? I'm just kidding. Salawat ala Muhammad. I'm finishing it pretty soon. But in this case, be careful. You know, when ulama says pretty soon, I'm not alim, just speaker. Am I the only one who should force myself to khair? Akrih nafsaka. Give me an example of the best of people that they force themselves. Let me give you a good example. Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi salam. He forced himself to khair. How? When Allah told him, you have to slaughter your son Ismail. You are fathers, alhamdulillah. Just 1 second, imagine this test. Our brothers was here, right? He said, my 2 years old got sick. We got panicked. We didn't know what to do. Right? 2 years. And alhamdulillah, he got better. Inshallah, he will celebrate the 6th year's birthday of his son, inshallah. His young son in front of him is walking. That's the best enjoy that a father can have. See, his son is young and is walking in front of him. This is hadith. And that right at the moment, Allah says, you have to slaughter. Ya Allah. Couldn't you find another test? No. This test. What did Ibrahim do? Akrih nafsahu bil fada'il. Allah wants me to do that. I will do it. Was it easy? How about Imam Hussein? He went to Karbala, right? He knew what's going to happen. He knew everything. Didn't he force himself to that khair? He knew what's going to happen to Ali Asghar, right? But because you want, in Allah Sha'a an yaraka qatila, because you want me to do that, I have no desire against you, Allah. You want me, I will do it. You want to show you are in love with Allah, you have to prove it. You have to pay for the love of Allah. It's not easy that you claim it and it says, okay, I'm deceived now. No, you have to show it with everything that you have. Your wealth, your life, you have to show it to me until I accept it. Prophet Yusuf, 7 years in front of him, he was young. That lady was in front of him and inviting him to haram, right? 7 years, not 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 year, 7 years in front of him. Who was that lady? She had the position. She had the money. She had everything, right? She said, just commit to this haram. I will give you everything. 7 years, Yusuf was doing what? Akreh nafsahu bil fadail. I don't want to do it. Why? Because I know if I do it, I will break the heart of my Lord, my master. So next time, when it comes to me, next time that I know that Shaitan is inviting me to something haram, for a moment at the time of imagination comes to my mind, Allah is watching me. Ahlul Bayt, they would know that. Ya Allah, help me. I don't want to break the heart of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I don't want to go to the day of judgment. I don't know when they want to take me to Jahannam, to hell. You know what is worst of Jahannam? Is that we see Imam Hussein is standing there and he's looking at us. That's worst of hell. I don't want it. I don't want Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. She looks at me and says, you know what? I expected you, my sister, to have a nice hijab. That's the only thing I wanted. I gave my Zainab. I gave my Hussein. I gave everything that I have for the hijab and for the Quran, for the salat that you have in front of you right now. So I expect you to take it. Me, Zahra, I gave my everything to you to have this Islam and this madhab tashayyu. You do a little bit. It's difficult. It should be difficult. If it's easy, everybody can do it, right? It's difficult. That's why it's valuable. Akreh nafsaka bil fadail. Inshallah, we ask Allah to help us to be closer and closer to Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah, inshallah. We ask Allah, inshallah, to help us to learn more about the ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj. Let's say Ameen all loud. Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj. Wal-afiyata wal-nasr. Wa mudda fi umrih al-sharif. Wa zayyin al-arla bithul baqa'ih. وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره وشيعته. يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم. We do everything we can. We come here. These people, they had life. They came here to get something from the ocean of Ahlul Bayt. I did whatever I could to talk to them, to share a little bit of the knowledge that I have with them. We do everything, ya Allah. But we want the blessings from you, inshallah. Ya Allah يا رحمن يا رحيم. Help us in this holy month, the remaining of the month of Sha'ban, to be prepared for the best of month of Ramadan in our lives, inshallah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, help our youth, our younger friends, provide all the situation, the factors for the success, specifically for their marriage, inshallah. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, those friends who were sick, couldn't make it to this majlis, please cure them at this time. Those who passed away, send the thawab out of this majlis to their soul, inshallah. Rahimallah man yaqra'u al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.